Hey, what's up? Hello, future casters. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Past, Present, Future Cast, the podcast that's also a tarot card reading. And I want to welcome you to the season finale of this show. Season one, we are wrapping it up today on episode 22, I might add. And for those of you not as steeped in tarot lore as I am, there are 22 cards in the major arcana. Now, I did not plan this. This is just kind of how the cards laid out, how the cards fell, how the chips fell. And it's pretty special because I do have here with me a guest that has truly and honestly been featured on every single episode of this podcast. Many of them, we've directly spoken her name, talked about her on the pod. But if you've ever watched a video episode, Rose has been visually featured in every episode, because I don't know if you look right up there. For those who are watching, or for Rose who is looking at the screen right now, that's a picture of her. I'm here to introduce my Reiki master teacher, the, I want to say, best Reiki master teacher in Tucson and retreat host, my dear, dear friend, Rose of Tarot by Rose 333. Rose, thanks for finally coming on my podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. I'm so honored. I know you've been talking about this podcast for years before it ever came to fruition, and it's so exciting to have been able to watch you birth this project from idea and seed and conception all the way through. And I know that, me coming on this podcast was really just about divine timing. There were so many times where we were supposed to do this, this was supposed to happen, and to have it be like the season finale, to have it be the 22nd episode is really just, it feels so right.
It does. It feels right. And this is the first episode, if you're watching on video. And I know, I will admit right now, if for listeners, viewers, in September of 2025, I have slacked on putting episodes up on YouTube, but that's going to be one of my break projects, is getting all the episodes up on YouTube. But if you are watching visually, because I recommend the YouTube show, because I show the cards, you get a little bit more of a visual. If you're watching visually, you'll notice that this is the first episode where the guest is in the studio with me, in my office with me. So it's kind of special. This is fun. This is a fun little wrap up. But we're here to talk about Rose. We're here to talk about the past, present, and future, what we're casting off into the future with Rose here. And I will say, we're mere days away from the first eclipse in this current September 2025 eclipse cycle. So anything that we say now is liable to change in the next 3 to 4 weeks. But Rose, what do you do now? Where is your time and attention focused and directed? What's your work looking like?
Very expansive. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm a Gemini, and I really do fit that like Jill of all trades archetype. Right now, my primary business, Tarot by Rose 333, has been in a state of completion for some time. And from that space, I've been in the process of building a retreat-based startup company. Alongside that, I will also be building a digital marketing company, because I figured, hey, if we're going to have a digital marketing strategist on board, we might as well build a firm. And in order to make all of that happen, I'm kind of making this like beautiful side route and transition into the realm of real estate, where I've done marketing for quite some time, just so that we can really do this right. We can really do this retreat company big. It can really have the love, the time, the care, the investment, and I can maintain creative control over this project in the way that it really truly deserves. So that's kind of where we're at. Lots of things happening.
I'm going to suggest a drinking game or a counter, a clicker for every time Rose says she's a Gemini.
Yeah.
Rose is very much a Gemini.
What's the number in here?
Yes, Gemini count one. Yeah, retreat business. And this is something that we've been talking about for a really long time. And I want to talk about that more when we get to the future, for sure, because this is definitely an upcoming like future project. I'm so excited for the kind of pivot, or more, maybe it's more fair to say return to the real estate world.
Yeah,
that mm-hmm. feels very yeah. exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And for some who may not know you as personally, it might feel like a weird, hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it
is something I've had a hand in for a really long time. But it was never a part of the Tarot by Rose 333, brand identity. This was something that was separate of, if you're one of my one-on-one clients, and if you have a hand in investment or in real estate, it's something that we've likely talked about. Because one of the beautiful things about being a tarot reader, a psychic, a channel, is that what you're paying for in that reading is not just a person's capacity to open the channel, but also their lived experience. And so as a Gemini, ding, ding, number two, I have a lot of lived experience in a lot of different professions and in a lot of different career fields. And so this has been relevant to some of my private one-on-one clients in the past, but not necessarily relevant to this particular brand identity and business as a whole. So it's exciting to come back to it full force. Like I said, I've done marketing in this realm for several years now, and now I'm just getting my own license, and I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be very exciting, very phenomenal, and it's just going to be the gas in the vehicle that gets this retreat company where it really needs to go. When I was really sitting with, is it time to go to real estate school? Is it time to do this? Is it time to get my license? The card that I pulled for it was the Chariot. And that was so fitting, because it's just this beautiful side quest to come back to the main passion project that I've been working on for a long time, which is the retreat company.
I love the Chariot, and I love all of the cards that are at the end of a line in tarot. So when we're talking about the tarot major arcana, you can always divide. One of the ways that you can divide the major arcana is by taking out the Fool, taking out zero. Now you have 21 cards. You can divide that by three into three lines of seven. And so you've got the first line, the second line, the third line, and each end of the line is a multiple of seven. We've got seven, the Chariot, 14, Temperance, and 21, the World. And something that I learned years ago that really stuck with me from Lindsay Mack, who's a very prolific tarot teacher in the online space, she described the end, the last card in each line as you're completing, when you go from card to card within the line, you're going level to level in a video game. But when you get to that last card in the line and you jump to the next line, it's moving from to a different world. It's not just you're leveling up, but it's you've completed that whole cycle and now you're moving into an entirely different world. The rules are different. Some of the strategy needs to be different. Everything kind of shifts in a way that is really exciting. So stepping into a lot of new beginnings, but also being in this kind of completion phase at the same time. And you mentioned that you've been in kind of a completion phase with Tarot by Rose 333 for a while. So what has some of that work looked like? What has that brand been about? What are you running off to go do for your job for the rest of the day today? I know you have a busy day.
So Tarot by Rose 333 was very this fuck it, what's the worst that can happen sort of situation. I had gone to school for business, and I wasn't very supported in a lot of my dreams in a lot of ways. And I had been told, don't bother, none of this is going to work, about so many different things. And my life was just in real chaos, real, real tower after tower. And I was just what's the worst that's going to happen? What's the worst that's going to happen? And so I built Tarot by Rose 333. And initially, the core offerings and structure of that were 30 and 60 minute love readings and abundance readings. And that's all we did. Then, I got really good at that. And I love that. And I was very passionate about that, especially as somebody who's ruled by Venus. I'm a Taurus stellium. And then I transitioned into more long format, one-on-one client work. Was really happy with that, built that, had that client base. And then I transitioned more into offering Reiki sessions. And I built a private one-on-one client base through Reiki. And then I really wanted to teach. And as I was kind of in that middle ground of having a one-on-one practice as a Reiki practitioner and being on the road to teaching, I knew my heart really resided with group work. I really love building communal containers. So I started doing a lot of events, primarily as a sound bath host. And that was really where that transition into, okay, you know, one-on-one work is great and fantastic and phenomenal, and I'll probably always do it, but my heart really resides with hosting retreats and these group containers and doing the group mastermind level projects. And so I kind of spent about 2 years training students, training other phenomenal practitioners, helping them build their businesses, helping them build their offerings. Now I'm kind of building this retreat company as a vehicle and a vessel and a platform for spiritual practitioners to be able to come into work, which doesn't really exist so much in our line of work. There's not a whole lot of opportunities to be employed as an energy healer. And it's not to say that you can't find clients. It's not to say that there isn't work out there. There's tons of work out there as an energy healer, if you know where to look. But there's not a lot of paid opportunities to come into this and just show your stuff. More often than not, you do have to learn how to be a business owner. You do have to be very entrepreneurial, and you do kind of have to build it all from the ground up by yourself, which I really admire anyone who's done that, especially me as somebody who's done that and then brought it to a state of completion. But I don't think it should always have to be that way. And I think we're stronger together. And so I'm really excited about this communal container of students that I've watched really give it their all, really push it to the absolute limit and the brink and say, should I do 10 more reps? To which I'm always going to say, yeah, yeah. Don't start counting until you feel like you can't do any more. That's the type of teacher I am. And so those are the types of students I've trained. And I'm really excited to give them a platform because they're all so talented. They're so unique. And they're so ready for this. They're so ready for this. Like, if you have ever been to a sound bath with me, if you've ever been to a retreat or a training with me, just wait until you meet my students. Just wait. They're going to blow your mind.
Yeah. I think you're an incredible teacher. The group offerings are so much fun. And you make such a brilliant point in that there are very few places to be just employed as an energy healer, as someone working in the metaphysical world, as a reader, as a medium, as a psychic. Very few places to be actually employed. And there are so many deeply, deeply talented folks who have a lot to offer to clients, who have so much to offer, but it's a very small percentage of them that are actually entrepreneurial enough to like get a business afloat.
Yeah.
And I feel like what we find in the woo sphere then is we've got those who do succeed. I think you're a wonderful example of someone who has both of like the actual skill and the entrepreneurial marketing ability to actually build a business. But outside of that small few, we have a lot of people who get burnt out, who are genuinely skilled, but who get burnt out because they can't do the business side. Yeah. And then we have a lot of people who are really good at business and realize that this is a really easy market to tap into. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that's where we get this massive, massive percentage within the sphere, within this industry of grifters and folks who, like, I don't know, maybe 1 out of 100 times are like telling someone something that they need to know because they because we all have these little skills, we can all tap into them. But a lot of times it's people who, you know, we've seen it.
Yeah. It's they can fill these containers and they can fill these retreats and they can fill their books, but the offerings themselves are very surface level. They don't have the capacity to offer a lot of true depth. And that's not all practitioners. And that's not all people who are great at business. Like you said, there are those people, but it's like any trade. You can see this in the trade industry as a whole of not everybody is built to uphold both. But in most trade industries, you have the opportunity of building the business and the skill set, but you also have the opportunity to come into a company, come into a level of an employment. And we really don't see that in energy healing very often.
And in most trade industries, there are easily identifiable markers of quality.
Mm-hmm.
In energy work, it's something that if you haven't worked with someone who is highly skilled, if you haven't worked with someone who is highly trained, you may just kind of be going in like, well, I don't know, like, am I supposed to notice anything? Like, is something supposed to change? Like, it's a lot more ephemeral. Mm-hmm. And also, you might go in and work with someone and not realize that the reason why your life is falling apart afterwards is a direct connection to working with an energy healer who was not prepared to hold the space for you.
Yep. There are very real dangers to working with an unskilled energy healer. Psychic surgery is a very real, precise tool. So in the world of Reiki, you learn across 4 different degrees. And the first 2 degrees, you're learning how to work with a butter knife and a steak knife. But then there's level 3 where you learn psychic surgery. And this is a scalpel. One of the things that I do very differently from most Reiki teachers is if you want to go up to level 3, you do have to show me a certain amount of intake forms from clients you've worked with at level 1 and level 2 in order for me to say, okay, you understand the responsibility that comes with holding this scalpel because you've seen how much a steak knife can do. Something that's also very different about me is in the world of Reiki, you know, it was opened pretty irresponsibly as an MLM structure during the New Age movement here in the West. And so it's very common for people to push people through these degrees and push them through these attunements. It's very common for people to not experience any sort of integrative container that allows them to really come in tune with the spiritual practice. And so there are very real dangers to working with unskilled practitioners. One of the tricky things about energy healing is, you know, it is for the most part a closed practice, which means that there's very little we can teach you and show you outside of a formalized initiation. And so it makes it challenging to know how to vet your practitioners and your teachers. One piece of advice I always give people when they want to work with a spiritual practitioner is ask that person what their relationship to their mentor and their teacher looks like. Mm-hmm. Outside of the West, in essentially every other country, while my practice emphasizes the Japanese system of Reiki healing, I've been trained in energy healing across about 10 different cultures. So in every culture outside of the U.S., the way energy healing is taught and is trained is what's called a living lineage, which means in order to hold space for others, you yourself at all points in time have to be answering to a teacher who answers to a teacher who answers to a teacher. And so if you're interested in working with a spiritual practitioner, ask them what their relationship to their teacher looks like. Ask them how long their training, you know, extended for throughout their life. Because it is very common to walk away with a certification after an 8-hour training. That's not enough lived experience with the energy itself to be prepared to hold space. And you're going to have questions. You're going to have questions and you're going to need a higher form of guidance. You know, one of the things I love is that by choice, I still work out of the same studio as my primary mentor and teacher. The reason why, if anything goes above my head, and it usually rarely does, I can crack open the studio door and I can ask for help and I can ask for guidance and we can get some real serious help through the lineage and through the hierarchy from somebody who's more experienced than me at any point in time.
And that's why Rose's photo is up literally above your head. It's right above your head, Rose, here in the studio, because we've got our lineage up here. So we've got Rose, your teacher, Patty. Mm-hmm. We've got some of your other direct teachers. Yeah. And then some folks further back in the lineage. That is a lot of what we are missing in so many, not just in energy healing, but in so many aspects of all forms of life here in the United States. Like, we are such an individualist country that we don't like to always acknowledge our mentors and teachers. And that's something that I think you and I both have taken really seriously in our practice.
Oh,
and I think
absolutely.
It's one of the reasons why we've kind of been able to move through this over the years, stay relatively grounded and continue to grow and expand.
Yeah, it's very a byproduct of European colonialism, which is the erasure of culture in general. But its intent is to erase the lineage. It's It's there to erase you from those who came before you, and it's there to disconnect you from those who come after you. It's reliant upon that, because when we're individualized, we're prey. We just don't.
So I don't know if you've looked at these cards that I flipped over for the present here, but are you excited about them?
I
am. Of course. Starting off, talking about lineage, talking about community, talking about our bond, you and I's, and the bond that we've made, the bonds that we've made through this journey that we've been on together. I'll say that Rose and I kind of started our in-person practice and our professional in-person practice here in Tucson at almost exactly the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a little while for us to then like actually come into like communion and friendship from there.
Yeah.
But gosh, I'm just like having a little montage reel is playing in my head. But talking about all of those things, starting off, the first card I've turned over is the Three of Cups. Y'all, the Three of Cups. Now, it's very fun because I'll say, I don't know if this isn't a spoiler to anything or whatnot, but maybe a little like personal fun fact. So I hope, dear listener, that you've listened to the episode that has come out before this with our good friend Chelsea Harder. And the three of us together do jokingly call each other the Three of Cups. And I love this depiction of this card in particular. Because it's like, it's sitting down to tea and cookies. I made us some tea before we started with some mugs that I made myself. I made both of these. Yeah, I made both of these.
They're beautiful.
Thank you. And then it has this braid, like a braid of hair above the little tea set scene. It does look like sweet grass. I've never made that connection. It is hair, but it does evoke that essence of sweet grass. The idea is this sense of the kind of friendship where you sit down and can braid each other's hair, and that's just like, okay, you can tell your story. She's bursting.
Gemini. So my primary mentor is my aunt right here. This one, her name is Patricia Warren. And she had trained in energy healing and holistic practices all across the globe. She used to line me and all of my cousins up. And my family was female dominant. She would line me and all of my cousins up, and we would braid each other's hair. And while we did so, she would tell us stories of the Navajo people and the Hopi people and of Native cultures and the importance of connection and your lineage and dismantling patriarchy and dismantling colonialism by actually coming together with other women and touching one another and loving one another and taking care of one another. So that feels very special. That feels very relevant.
And then at the same time, we also have the Eight of Wands coming up. And the Eight of Wands in this deck is depicted as a group of fireworks with a long fuse leading up to it. And the fuse is lit at the end. And to me, this is, we always joke about hopping on the rocket. I think I talked about this in the last episode, we were talking about eclipse season. When eclipse season comes around or some like major kind of shift starts up, it's like we can feel it so intensely. And we're like, all right, it's time to hop on the rocket. We have no idea where we're going.
We're just loading up.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the loading dock. We're in the queue.
And light the fuse and let's go. So I very much see this as all of the work, the preparation, the passion, the fire, the fuel that you're packing in to your rocket. That's going to take you, this retreat company, this like pivot to real estate. That's just going to like send that off into the future. So I'm very excited to see that. When I think about the Eight of Wands, really what I think of is always like, well, you've already done it. You've already done the work. You've already prepared it. You've already set it in motion. It's very Rube Goldberg.
Yeah.
You've already set it in motion. Just be ready with your hands open.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exciting. So let's talk a bit more about your training, your family connection, how you got into this work, like what has brought you to this moment now of being a respected Reiki teacher and like someone building a retreat business.
So for me, it's really just all about following in the footsteps of my ancestors, my elders. I have several energy healers, massage therapists, things of that nature in my family. So when we make the joke about like metaphysical shop talk, where you come in and everyone's talking eclipses and this is a sign and you should use this crystal and you need to try this herb, you know, things like that. That was my life growing up. That was my culture. And my family is here from Tucson. And they did develop a lot of the metaphysical culture through a lot of the different spas and things of that nature. And so I was always very, very close with the oldest daughter in my mom's family, which is Patricia Warren. I remember her teaching me and my cousins energy healing practices as young as like 4 years old. And as I kind of grew up and as I got older, by the time I was 16, I remember telling her, I know with all of my heart what I want more than anything in this life is to be a Reiki practitioner. And I remember her climbing up on her couch. She has these really big bookshelves, and this isn't the first time she's done this, but I remember her climbing up on her couch and hand selecting all these books and here, hold this one, hold this one, hold this one. And then stuffing them all into these big reusable Trader Joe's bags. There were two of them because I had to carry one in each hand. And I remember her going, okay, here you go. Start reading. And so by the time I came into Reiki level one training, I had been really ferociously studying Reiki healing with my aunt and primary mentor for about 3-4 years. And this was also the culture I had grown up in as well. And so, you know, and the dream just kept expanding. The goal was always to be a retreat host. When I started Tarot by Rose 333, it was like, there was very little belief in my capacity to do something that big and that great and also that eclectic from the outside. And I remember my mom always being like, what's the worst that could happen? She was very spiritual, too. She had worked in a metaphysical shop right on Fourth Avenue for a long time, too. And I remember my aunt always being like, don't listen to them. Here's the next step. Don't listen to them. Here's the next step. And so it's so funny because I remember the first time sitting down with Maria Elena, you know, we had both just started doing in-person readings and we were both doing really well. And so for me, it was like, despite everybody else's disbelief, my ability to put the horsey blinders on and go, no, I'm going for this and I'm going for it ferociously because what's the worst that could happen? I remember us sitting down and going, you know, this is going really well, but this is what I really want. I want to build a globalized retreat company. You know, it's what my aunt did. It's what her very close friends did, who I also had the incredible honor of training with and learning from and things of that nature for many different years. I was like, this is what I want. This is how I'm going to do it. This is how we're going to make it happen. And here we are about 5 years later now. And it's happening. We're hosting our first retreat together, and it's not going to be in Tucson. A lot of people have already bought their tickets. There's a couple left. There's three left, to be specific. But we're going to be hosting our first retreat together after many years of co-hosting events and building our businesses together in downtown Phoenix under the Venus Kazemi. So I'm super excited about that. But yeah, it really all starts with my family. And a willingness to work really hard. But this was always the goal. And this was always the dream, no matter how small the vehicle and the vessel to get there was at the time.
Okay, Chariot. And what, in your mind, in your opinion, in your words, what is the benefit to the participants, the students, you know, those who are students along with us, because we are, of course, lifelong students, to attending, and this is maybe getting into a future question, but to like attending a retreat outside of maybe where they're based? Because thinking about the concept of a globalized retreat, like we're bringing in travel, we're bringing in movement, we're bringing in like getting folks into other places to then come together in these communal spaces and learn and heal together. So What's the benefit of like the globalized aspect there?
It's about exploration. It's about removing yourself from what it is that you know, who it is that you know, and being fully immersed in something outside of your own culture, which is a requirement for learning energy healing. Especially if you're learning energy healing here in America, you have to be able to dissolve yourself. You have to be able to remove yourself from all that it is that you know, all that it is that you've learned, all that it is that you think is real, and step into this container and experience something divine, experience something unseen to you, something outside of your perspective. And so that's something that you're already doing as you're learning energy healing, as you're attending these retreats. But then, you know, doing it travel-based, we're able to take that a step further. We're now not just socially and emotionally stripping you of all that you know, all that you think that you are, and all these limitations. Now we are actually location-wise doing the exact same thing. We're physically removing you from your culture and immersing you in a communal container where we can build a shared resonance with one another with the intention of going higher, with the intention of manifesting more, and with the intention of asking that divine and radiant force to show us something that we cannot perceive ourselves.
Yeah, even just getting out of your own house, if you're based in the city that it's happening in, you know, oftentimes we're working with hotels or some other place where you can stay, and there's this essence of getting out of that normal routine, getting out of that, you know, all the other people who are in your house, and putting yourself into a space where you can really, it's, you know, it's hermit card vibes. And the hermit is also connected to the moon. It's also very moon card vibes. And as you were talking, I kept thinking about the moon. And of course we have the moon connects to Pisces. We've got the Pisces eclipse coming up in just a few short days. But in the moon card, there is typically a depiction of some kind of like crustacean coming up onto land. And it symbolizes and represents that idea that you're talking about of removing yourself from your standard environment where you feel most comfortable, taking yourself out of that, putting yourself into the unknown, putting yourself into an unfamiliar space. And then what is able to happen through that is connecting into a much deeper well of wisdom and being able to go even deeper, like internally within yourself in that process. So we detoured a little bit there, but getting back to your family, your training, I'll say the cards that we pulled up here. The first one here is the Six of Wands. And the Six of Wands, I see this very much as your family, your aunts, your mentors and teachers from a young age, being able to see and recognize the spark in you, being able to see and recognize like the fire, the drive, the passion. The Six of Wands is very much about like being recognized, acknowledged, and congratulated for our hard work, for our accomplishments. And in this context that we're talking about, I do see it as like your Aunt Patty being like, okay, see, you've got the hunger. Like you're taking each individual little step, like congrats, giving you your laurel, like let's keep going. And then I love that that then evolves from that Six of Wands is evolving into the Eight of Wands, into the present here of like, you've done the work, you've put all that effort in, you've done the study, you've curated the passion, you've directed that fire within you in a specific direction. And now is a really big time for like evolution through that.
Yeah. Absolutely. I remember there was a time where we were having a family get together and my aunt's best friend, Kimberly Herker, had come too. And Kimberly is a phenomenal teacher. She's a phenomenal teacher in energy healing. She trained all over the world. She trained with the Dalai Lama. She's a PhD psychologist. She's easily one of the most transformative people I've ever met in my life. And Kimberly is one of Patricia's teachers, long, long time teacher, like 40 years of shared resonance as student and teacher. And this was a time where I was experiencing a lot of trauma within my like nuclear family dynamic. And I wasn't told this story until many years later, but I guess Kim was saying, wow, she's got a lot of light in her. That's the fairy girl right there. She calls me the fairy girl. And my aunt said it brought tears to her eyes. And she goes, she's in so much pain. She's experiencing so much darkness. And Kim kind of slapped her on the back and was like, of course she is. She carries the most light. She's the one who will inherit all of this spiritually. She's the one who's going to carry this on in the lineage. So of course she is. It's where she's going to find her light, actually. And about 2-3 years ago, Kimberly Herker opened the lineage through which she teaches and heals. That lineage was opened for the very first time in about 26 years. And that's how old I was at the time, which is another really interesting thing. And so this was the first time the lineage had been opened since the time I was born. And I remember Kim and Patty inviting me to come and learn and be transformed through this. And it was really, I had just finished my Reiki master teacher training. I was inviting in what's next. I knew I wanted to keep learning. I wanted to make my ancestors and my teachers proud. I was able to really consciously, as an adult, understand how divine and how magical it was to be a piece and a part of this. And I was like, yes, please, Nat, send me the registration links. And I mean, I've been training through that program ever since. And it's been very transformative. It's been one of the greatest blessings of my life to learn from my teacher and my teacher's teacher as well. That's very special. That's very rare. That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah. And I've watched how transformative that has been to your life. It really has kind of shaken up everything. It's required you to do a lot of really intense healing work within yourself, within your family. And it's also led you to this place where now you are able to have hands open, ready for what's coming next.
Yeah.
And the other card that comes up from your past, you've already spoken to it, but we've had the Four of Cups here, and you did have to experience a lot of pain, a lot of trauma, a lot of difficulties that's just part of your story.
Yeah.
That's part of your story and what's gotten you to this space here. And so the Four of Cups is this grief. It's a card very much associated with grief. And, I know one of the trainings that you have gone through, and I believe you just shared that you're going through it again.
Doubt.
Working through grief. And when I saw you just posted that you signed up to do that again, and I was like, oh, here we go. Because round one beat the shit out of you.
Oh, I was seriously stripped. I was seriously so stripped and so raw. And it felt like the final layers of like releasing the abuse and the trauma of the childhood and the nuclear family. And it was just becoming a blank slate, which at the time felt like a lot of loss. This was my tower year. You know, I had made all my dreams come true up until that point. I was a Reiki teacher. I had built a retreat space. I thought I had the perfect family. I thought, you know, I had let it go already. I was like, I already let go of all of it. You know, and I had been training through the way of the open heart for a really long time. And I remember Kim, you know, reaching out to me and being like, I really think that you need to go into the grief. I really think that you need to do some shadow work. I really think that we need to be able to go deep into the density for you to integrate this light. Otherwise, it's just going to be disembodiment. And I had kind of already been feeling that. And so I went for it and I did it. And it forced me to let go of everything. I had to let it all go. I remember January of this year, completely starting over. My whole life, I was completely starting over. I was moving off the retreat space I built. I was moving back to be very close with family. I had become a single mother. I just had to let it all go and just start over. And it was a result of this very intense 6-week grief and shadow focused workshop where I really discovered the shadow in my own light that, oh my God, when I looked into it, was staring me directly in the face. And I was like, everything that I thought was good is not, because it's not fully integrated. And everything that I fear, everything that I label as dark, is a superpower waiting to be embodied. And so it was a 6-week workshop focused on transforming grief and integrating the shadow. And it did. It very much so stripped me of everything. And healing will do that. It will do that. You know, you will transform enough to where you think all these things that you have or all these things that you've accomplished are good or enough. And then one day you'll like realize this is a recreation of my own trauma. This is a manifestation of all of my fears. And maybe this is as much as I could dream out of the fear at the time that I built this dream for myself. But now that I'm here, now that I'm in the dream, it feels a lot more like a nightmare. And I believe that there is more out there for me. And I think this is what separates those who come into spirituality and then just move into a state of disembodiment and those who really integrate, is to look down these two paths and open our hearts like the fool and allow the divine hand to move through our life with faith, no matter how scary, no matter how dark it looks, and to ask for more.
Because if you had not chosen to go deep into that shadow work, if you had not chosen to truly face like your deepest fears and embrace them,
yeah,
I can imagine where you would be at this point, and it wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be safe. It wouldn't be a space where you could do any of the work that you're doing now, and it wouldn't be a space where you could hold space and provide healing to other people.
Mm-mm.
Because you'd be so bogged down in what did not need to be there. And
So
that's, you know, I feel like a lot of healing work should come with a warning. It should.
And a good teacher will give you one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Of like, are you prepared to actually do the work? And like we use that phrase a lot. We say that phrase a lot of like the work, but it's because you can't accurately describe it on an individual level, because it's individual for every person. And it's going to be specifically like diving into the trauma, the family dynamics, the patterns that you don't need to be holding anymore, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone experiences a little bit of that through their Saturn returns, 1, 2, and maybe 3 if you're lucky, if you live long enough. And there's a lot to be said there, where some folks may resist the work that Saturn brings, because what you're talking about is very Saturnian style of growth. Oh, yes. And a lot of folks may resist the work that Saturn brings, or kind of resist those lessons. And maybe that's
my Saturn
part
in the
of,
first house, by the way.
Oh, it is. Rose is so young. If you've caught, you know, you've mentioned ages a couple of times of like when you've been this age or that age.
Mm-hmm.
Rose is still so young. She's still a whole Saturn sign away from her Saturn return. Mm-hmm. But you became a mother very young. You had children. And
I have Saturn in the first house.
And I have Saturn in the first house.
You're old.
When I met Rose, I thought she was like in her 30s. Like, I thought she was much older than me.
You were 24
when I met you, and I thought you were 32. I remember being like, oh, yeah, she's definitely like in her 30s, you know. She's got 2 kids.
It was like,
yeah, you were born
and
old.
And Gemini, we're living life fast.
So I don't know where I was going with. Oh, okay. Yes, I know where I was going. So you're so far away from your Saturn return still. You're going to get there. And maybe for some folks, ignoring those Saturn lessons is part of what their soul contract is here on this life. I'm not here to judge if someone wants
my identity.
who I am. What are you here to judge if someone doesn't want to do their Saturn work? But doing the Saturn work is what brings the Saturn rewards. And Saturn mm-hmm. rewards are enduring yeah. and like life-changing mm-hmm. levels of reward. Yeah. But it requires discipline. It requires an acceptance and acknowledgement of like pain. It requires a lot from the person undergoing it. And I've literally watched you do that. You've watched yeah. me in the yeah. same capacity. Totally. We kind of ping pong back and forth mm-hmm. of like who's in the most immediate crisis at yeah. a given time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No, but I love what you say about how, you know, this work should come with a warning label and it requires discipline. Like I actually remember in part of this retreat that I was doing, the one that really stripped me raw, my teacher Kimberly saying, you know, this was a group container, you know, and so in group containers, not every message is meant for you specifically and directly, but this one really, it hit me in the heart. We had been doing the practices, really going for it all for like 3 days straight, which was the most I had ever trained in that compact of a container. This was sun up, sun down, sun up, sun down, sun up, sun down. So if you've ever done energy healing practices for yourself, we recommend that you start self-healing practices about 20 minutes. This was 3 solid days of that with a very high-level mentor, as well as with a group that was probably 90% like vets of 20 to 40 years. So a very, very high level container.
And I remember group dynamic yeah. that it, you can think of energy work as being like exponentially multiplied yeah. when there's multiple practitioners yeah. with the same focus and intention.
It's actually, it squares it. So if you are even in resonance with another healer and your intention is the same, it's squared. And this was a group of probably over 100 people who all had 20 to 40 years experience in this. And so very, very intense energy. And I remember her saying, a lot of you had made it really far in this retreat, but I want you to ask yourself, is that all you came here for? Or did you come here to see the real? Did you come here to say that you came here and to see a couple cool things, and maybe you had a couple interesting visions, and you'll go back and you'll tell your friends and you'll tell your family and you'll get to say you did it? Or did you come here to see the one? Did you come here to see the real? Did you come here to touch God? Because if that's what you came for, you are going to have to let it all go now, because we've got about 6 hours left. And in those 6 hours, there is a lot left for you. And that hit me in the heart. And I remember seeing my energy, and I remember seeing just bad energy bleeding into me from people in my life, experiences I was having, you know, violation of boundaries that I was allowing. I can take accountability for that. I was waiting for other people to be ready. I was waiting for other people to be ready for things that they will probably never be ready for. Most people do not get to have as expansive of a life experience as I am very blessed to have. And that requires a lot of sacrifice. And I remember seeing this cap. It was like, if you don't let go, this is where you stay. And I remember looking around and making that conscious choice and, you know, being like, I don't stay here. I came here to see God. I came here to be touched by something higher. And I will allow myself the chance to receive that divine blessing. And the energy, that blockage, that cap, and just God force love. And that was where that stripping really started, was with this alchemic fire of allowing myself to receive the love of something much higher than myself.
That's, first of all, it's an incredible story. I remember you going on that retreat. I remember how transformative that was. And I'm personally so grateful for the teachers that you have in your life, because you've been a fantastic friend and mentor in many capacities to me. And I'm grateful for your teachers for keeping you in good functioning working order.
They challenge me.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for that. And it's another reason why I tell people, if you want to train with me, prepare to be challenged. If you don't want to be challenged, you probably shouldn't step into that room. You just shouldn't.
Yeah. And for those listening who don't have as much context or maybe have never stepped into these kinds of realms, I want to like have a brief conversation about the difference between a safe, sustainable, and supportive retreat, mentor, group container, and joining a fucking cult. Because if we're just taking words at face value, sometimes some things can sound like scary of like, girl, were you okay on that retreat? Like what is happening? Like, why is this person directing you to do like intense levels of energy work for 3 days straight? My assumption is you were still being nourished. You were, when we start to think, I've watched a lot of cult documentaries, because I am highly aware of my susceptibility of both joining and or starting a cult. So I've got Neptune right up on the midheaven. Neptune is a strong marker for cults. And I'm like, I will not fall into the scary Neptune. And so some markers of an unsafe situation would be controlling food intake, controlling people in your life, trying to separate you from family, trying to separate you from supportive people in your life. And then safe, supportive, sustainable containers are going to be challenging you and pushing you to grow, but there's choice involved.
Yes.
And like basic needs are not being manipulated. Things like that. What do you have to add to this conversation?
I know for a fact I was safe in that container because of how experienced my mentor was. So it was like I could really completely and totally let go of everything and just come into the energy because I knew my teacher could really hold that container without allowing any negative energy, negative entities. Like I didn't have to open this doorway to get there. The doorway was open. I had to step through it.
Okay.
She holds a very, very safe, grounded container.
Grounded.
Alongside that
like word.
It was my choice. If I would have heard that and it hit me in the heart and I would have been like, nope, I'm not ready. I'm scared. I don't want to do this. I don't want to let go. I got what I came here for. I know for a fact that teacher would still love me. She would have still held on to me. She still would have kept me close. She still would have emailed me, hi, how are you? How are the kids? How are the family? We still would have maintained a relationship to one another. This challenge towards growth was exactly that. It was a challenge and it was an invitation into that challenge that I was grateful to receive. However, not everybody in that room accepted that invitation. In fact, some people went running in the opposite direction and buried themselves in their own shadow. I know for a fact Kim still prays for them, sends them healing love, sends them healing energy, and wants the best for them because that's another marker of a safe, grounded teacher. There is a lack of excommunication.
That's I knew you were going to have some fantastic insight there because that does seem to be such a mark of a dangerous teacher.
Yeah.
An unsafe teacher is someone who is angry at you for not going deeper than you're ready to or for not going deeper, period. Even if you are ready, you can say no at any point.
A teacher who believes you to not be worthy based off of where it is that you're at. Your teacher should meet you where you are. However, if you're not progressing, it's a good teacher is also going to be like, hey, you're not progressing. They're going to invite you and they're going to challenge you, but they're not going to excommunicate you and they're not going to tell you you're not good enough and they're not going to discard you. Those are all very common in Western lineages of energy healing. And the reason why is it's moved through the very westernized culture of European colonialism. And so that's, it's dangerous. It's something to look out for. A strong lineage is not going to excommunicate you and discard you. And they're also not going to project their ideal onto you. They're going to acknowledge that this is your soul path. And sometimes there's things you have to go through that are ugly and hard and, you know, crappy and suck. Sometimes you are going to pile on the trauma. You know, sometimes we do put ourselves through things when we're in our grief. And your teacher is going to love you and look at you and say, this is what's meant for you. This is the highest path for you. Sometimes the shadow is the highest road for you.
Yeah, I just wanted to have that note there around avoiding abuse, because it's too common in this kind of sphere.
It is. And it's very a result of the fact that metaphysical culture is, you know, very historically tied into cult culture, cults that developed in the 1970s, 1980s in California. That's a lot of where retreat cultures, companies, et cetera, come from. The other is how spirituality in general moves through the white Christian colonialist agenda and culture, which is very rooted in purity culture. It's very rooted in excommunication and discarding and burning people at the stake for not living up to our expectations. And a good teacher is going to be able to meet you where you're at and push you to growth in a way that is sustainable for you.
Yeah, some of these folks out there who end up being cult leaders are trying to like become the white Christian god.
And they're then not... and they give themselves authority, which is why they usually don't have a teacher that they answer to.
And that's why that piece of advice you gave at the top of this episode is very important. What is your teacher's relationship with their teacher? Always make sure you are asking that. So let's take a look. Okay, we've talked about where you're at right now, which is incredibly expansive. It's exciting. It's like you're not there yet, too. It's like you're not there yet. Right now you are in, you're leading your sound baths, you're leading your Reiki trainings, your Reiki retreats. Like you're leading these things, but we're not at the big dream yet.
A lot of the back end of these businesses and these brands, the ideas, the strategy, the names, the logos, the foundations is for the most part built, but they're not operational yet. They're not, you know, in a big state of movement yet. So I love that long fuse, because it is like, when it's all said and done, I'll probably own about 6 businesses. And most of those, the back end of, is completed as a project, but it's not in movement yet.
No, it hasn't been birthed into the world yet.
Nope.
So let's look at these cards for your future, because we've talked about what we want, what you're aiming for, what you're hoping for, and then we have a little bit to talk about in terms of what we're actually doing. But, oh, we've got 2 aces. 2 aces have come up for the future. It's exciting being able to do this in the same room together so you could see the reveal at the same time I did. We've got the Ace of Wands. We've had wands come up in every single position because boy, oh boy, are you just full of that light.
I'm on fire.
And we have the Ace of Swords coming up. And this is reversed, which in many ways is kind of an indication to me of like, a fresh start beyond the suffering and the pain. Because there has been, God, for both of us, the last like 3 years have been a lot of challenging growth moments of having to be stripped down, having to sacrifice things that we thought were right for us at the time.
They were comfortable and they could have been good enough if we're looking at love through a lens of limitations. But I don't think that's what either one of us is meant for.
Exactly, exactly. So tons and tons of potential for the future here. It's just getting started. Again, we are entering into an eclipse season, and I've talked about this on multiple episodes now, but eclipse season, you can't anticipate, you can't see what's coming. It is literally like astronomically, when we're talking about eclipses, it's the the blocking of the light of one of the luminaries, the sun or the moon, you know, they block each other's light. Everything blanks out, blacks out for a moment, like on a literal and also metaphoric level. And so you can't see.
What kind of eclipses me and you have held hands through? Yeah. Let's just throw that.
Well, there are like four a year.
But every time they come around, I'd be like, me and you are set for like such a transformational period. And more often than not around those eclipse portals, everything and everyone else has usually fallen away at these points. Yeah. And we're like looking at each other across the room, like,
where'd everybody go? Where'd everybody else go? Yeah, because they got ripped away. Oh my gosh.
Everything and everyone gets ripped away during the eclipse, except for your best
friend. You and me. And I will say, I don't know if I've said this before in the pod, but my astrology, my natal chart, my energy, I am a walking eclipse. I was born on an eclipse as the eclipsed full moon was rising on the horizon. It's a very intense signature in my chart. So I tend to bring that energy. I think that is what I bring as an energy healer, mm-hmm. is I bring this like, all right, well, we're just going to strip it all away. Like, let's see. Are you prepared for this?
Yes. I think so many people who are drawn to working with you, that's the point that they're at. Mm-hmm. They're at this point of
massive transformation.
Everything is gone. Everything was just ripped out of my hand.
It's funny. Can I just add, when I was in high school, when I was like a young person, a teenager in high school, I used to say everyone I seem to date like has like a major coming out shortly after dating me.
Yeah.
I am like almost every, there's only a small handful of people that I have dated in my lifetime, been in this like close intimate relationship with. And as a child, I was like, what is happening? What is it about me that I force someone to like see the reality of themselves mm-hmm. every goddamn time?
Yeah.
And then later on, I you know, got a little more acquainted with my natal chart, and I was like, oh, it's the eclipse energy. I'm eclipsing them. I'm forcing them into a dark night of the moon, and they have to look at the raw version of themselves. Oops. Sorry. Sorry, boyfriends.
Everyone I date has an identity crisis.
They do.
Gemini. And it's Gemini. Gemini.
Who's that for?
It's like they step into the center of a tornado and then they're just completely and totally ripped apart.
You're the tornado and I'm the eclipse. Absolutely. Absolutely. But you said a word. You also said a word as we were talking about these cards, these aces, and it's a very important word for us moving into the future. So Rose teased this a little bit earlier, but we are hosting our first retreat together in downtown Phoenix. And what is it called?
Portal 2026.
That's right. That's right. Because it is on January 3rd. So it's this stepping into the new year, stepping into 2026. We're going to walk through this portal together in downtown Phoenix at the Moxie Hotel. And it's going to be a really beautiful community container.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like the community that's building through this container. You know, 5 out of 8 spots are already reserved. And these are all individuals that I know in a really intimate way. A lot of them Reiki trained, a lot of them Reiki attuned, a lot of them very experienced and in a very high vibration. So the way that we're going to be able to amplify through that communal container is going to be really impactful. It's going to be really impactful and really potent.
And we picked this date. So we were like, okay, it's time for us to kind of like set something in motion. It's time for us to host our first retreat together. And we had the idea of doing it for New Year's, for something that like kind of sets us on the right foot as we step into the new year. I know last year I attended your New Year's Day sound bath mm-hmm. and it was like so beautiful, so welcoming.
That was really good.
So I was like, okay, let's do something like this, but a little bit beefed up. And a lot mm-hmm. of what I like to do in my tarot practice is, do a lot of work around communing with the major arcana card that we're collectively stepping into the new year with, and also helping folks to identify what major arcana card is their personal card of the year and the archetype that they're embodying in the new year. So it's like, New Year's retreat is perfect for us. Mm-hmm. Let's do that. That's a lot of what we're going to be talking about. And then we just picked, like, it was like the first Saturday after the new year.
Okay, first Saturday of the new year. Yep.
And then I looked at the astrology. Like, we had already settled on this. And then I looked on the astrology and I said, holy shit, it's a full moon. It's a full moon. How exciting. And this full moon has both of the benefic planets, the planets that bring like love and union and luck and harmony. Like they want to bring good things. And they're both so well placed. Venus is entering the heart of the sun. So it's a Venus Kazemi. Jupiter is exalted in Cancer. And it's conjoined with the moon. So it's like Venus and the sun on one side of the chart, the moon and Jupiter on the other side of the chart, just bringing all of this beneficence, that's the word. And then Mars is also bringing us this like power move, this like power play, because Mars is also there involved in Capricorn, which is where the sun and Venus will be. And Mars is also exalted in Capricorn, and Mars in Capricorn gives this like endurance and this like it's not a rocket engine that you light and it like goes off really fast and then it's done. It's this like deep enduring engine that can just like go for a long time and bring a lot of force, a lot of horsepower behind it. So I was just absolutely floored when I saw the astrology, and I can't wait to see what this group is going to bring, what this is going to look like, what intentions we're going to set for the new year, and then how we're going to accomplish and achieve and like shoot beyond those intentions as we move through the entire rest of the year.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's really exciting. It's the astrology is great. The communal container is absolutely great. I already know whoever, you know, snags those last three spots is going to be great.
Get right in. You and I have put in so much work over the last few years to really be prepared to hold this space.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think we're absolutely ready for the depth that this community has the capacity to dive into. What's beautiful about it is that I don't just feel like me and you are ready. I feel like the participants in this container are also very ready.
Because we can only do so much. You and I can only do so much.
It's like I was saying about my experience at that retreat with Kim. Is she could unlock and she could open the door, but it was my soul's decision to dive. And we have some serious divers in this group. It's very exciting. And one of the things that I love, too, is that, you know, a lot of my Reiki students, they ask me all the time, do you teach tarot? And I don't. It's not where my heart resides. It's not where my passion resides. I love the tarot. The tarot is very transformative for me. I love reading tarot, but I don't teach it because I'm just not as passionate about it. And I love the way you teach tarot. I love the way you work with the tarot. I love how you're able to break this system down and integrate people into its lessons in such an impactful way. And so that's been something that's really exciting to share with my community and my students is, hey, you've all been asking for a tarot teacher, and here she is.
You don't teach it, but I do. Oh, I love teaching tarot. I love teaching tarot more than I like reading tarot, actually.
It is, yeah, 100%.
I love reading tarot. I will read you to filth, but I love teaching folks how to do it for themselves and teaching folks how to use it as a tool for personal growth and development. And that doesn't have to mean just reading for yourself. That can be connecting in and learning from these archetypes. And that has been what's been most transformative for me. And so my entry point to that is your card of the year. So I'm excited to see what cards and archetypes everyone's going to be stepping into, because that's going to be like, that's still a surprise for me. I have to like learn everyone's birthday so we can figure that out. But yeah, so Portal 2026, and registration is now open for that. As we've said, five spots are already taken. There are only three remaining. And you can register for that on your website, right, Rose?
Yeah, you can register for it on my website under the retreat tab. It's got its own section, Portal 2026.
And check out the other retreats that are on there too.
Lots of Reiki training.
And that's, you know, this is one of the things I appreciate our friendship on a personal level so much, but God, I appreciate our partnership on a business level. so intensely because, as we said earlier in this conversation, like, not, I have an entrepreneurial spirit for sure. I love to be a little entrepreneur.
Yeah.
But I do not, I have Saturn in the 12th house. So I get a little bogged down and stuck in things. And like, I'm not the best at marketing myself and doing all the back end and contracts and all that stuff. And thank God for Rose. Thank God for Rose for having this, because I wouldn't have been able to have already sold 5 seats in this retreat on my own. But I've got my business baddie, who is not only an incredible business baddie, but also like one of my spiritual mentors. And I just think we make like such a beautiful team. My Libra stellium is so happy when we are working together, because
it's just holding hands with my Taurus stellium.
Yes. And it is our Venus is popping off. Yeah. And we are able to do so much more together than we could do individually.
Absolutely.
So I'm just so excited for that.
Me too.
And Rose, we're winding down this conversation now. So how about you tell the people where else they can find you and how they can work with you?
So some ways you can work with me, I host a lot of free community containers where I do a lot of sound baths, I do a lot of tarot readings. Accessibility is really important for me. And so I work with a lot of venues who sponsor my skill set so that I can offer it to the public for free. You can find more information about that on my events page on my website, tarotbyrose333.com. You can subscribe to my email list. You can also find me on Instagram at tarotbyrose333. So you can come join me for a free communal container. They're beautiful. I love, you know, the community that's built around these things. And again, accessibility is really important. It's really important. Everybody is deserving of healing, no matter what your socioeconomic status is at all. And you can also join me for one-on-one sessions, although I do those a little bit less these days. And you can join me for Reiki training, and you can join me for retreats. And all the information for that goes onto my email list. It goes onto my Instagram, and it's all on my website. So,
yes, absolutely. It's all just Tarot by Rose 333. And what days are you at Aquamarine Daydream? Because I'm about to plug myself at Aquamarine Daydream.
So one of the things you can join me for is a walk-in tarot reading at Aquamarine Daydream, where I do 1, 3, and 6 card readings. And I'm there every Thursday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And this episode will come out after the date that I've been plugging, my first day doing astrology readings at Aquamarine Daydream, which was on September 19th. But I know that we're going to set some more dates. I just haven't nailed them down yet. So please check out my Instagram, Persephonic777, for more information about that. But Fridays, it'll be a Friday. It'll be 1 or 2 Fridays in the month. And yeah, so that's what we've got for today. We did it. Oh my gosh. Thank you
finally
so much. Well, first of all, before I go into my thank yous, Rose, any last words, any final thoughts?
Just thank you. Thank you for listening. You know, thank you for stepping into the integrative possibilities of listening to this container and the other containers within this podcast. You know, I've gotten so much out of listening to you, and so many of our mutual friends share in their skill set and their wisdom here. And thank you for having me. And thank you for also developing that container, because I've gotten so much out of this podcast. I know a lot of our friends have gotten so much out of this. I know a lot of community members have gotten so much out of this. And it's beautiful, the platform you've built to share the wisdom, you know, developed through these conversations that we're usually having in private.
We are. We are usually having these in private. And I knew we needed to bring them to more of a public format. I've got so many amazing friends, and I'm so grateful that y'all have joined me here. And thank you to the listeners who have been enjoying this podcast. If you've commented, if you've subscribed, you have like a never ending well of gratitude from me. This has been such a passion project. As we wind down season 1, I'm really, really excited for what is going to be coming in the future. So please subscribe. Make sure you're following the podcast on the podcast Instagram, which is past @PastPresentFutureCast. subscribe on YouTube, all that good stuff, so you know when we are coming back with new episodes. And if you haven't listened to all of the past episodes, I highly recommend you do so, because there have been some bangers.
Oh, yeah.
Some absolute bangers. And what I'm going to be doing a little bit in the break is continuing to promote those past episodes. So I hope you go and enjoy them. So thanks to Rose for being here with me.
Thank you.
Thanks to the listeners for being here with us. And as always, do you want to say it with me?
Happy shuffling.